This is KTOO President Justin Shoman. As you're likely aware, the federal government has rescinded all funding for public media. This isn't just a budget cut. It's a targeted attempt to dismantle one of the most trusted institutions in America. Public media had significant bipartisan support throughout nearly all of its history. This attack on independent journalism is part of a broader attack on our democracy, our communities, and our shared values. Your support is more important than ever. Donate today at ktoo.org.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
I'm listener-supported KTOO. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, July 30th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Cheesh, Hawa Tuxik Nusum Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us via our live stream for a behind-the-scenes look here in the studio on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Facebook and Instagram pages. Conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. We talk with KTOO reporter Alex Solomon about a new podcast series premiering next week, Outburst, about the glacial outburst flooding issues in Juno. Garden Talk is back. We have a look at some upcoming events and talk with Darren Snyder about all things gardening. We chat and have some updates with the Chamber of Commerce. And today we begin with, well, you know, summer is in full swing, but First Friday must go on. We are joined via the virtual realm by Rochelle Bonet from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Gunath Cheesh, Ha'igidi, thank you so much for joining me today. Rochelle, how are you today? I know you.
I'm doing well.
You know you had to be at home today, but we're glad to have you via the technology of the interwebs. So.
Yes, thank you for making it work.
Of course, Gunath Cheesh. So, big changes over at the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, but you just put out a press release and announced that there is some. You have an interim executive director. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on with that?
Sure. So we just put out a press release. Like you said, the Jack Board of Directors has named Stacy Katas as our interim director. She just started a few weeks ago, and she will be with us for, I believe, 4 to 6 months through the fall. And we're really excited to have her with us.
Yeah, I know in the press release it said that she'll basically be with you to give you enough time to do an extended search and really find the right person to lead the Jack into the next decade or more, yeah?
Yes, that's absolutely right.
Yeah, and Stacy's wonderful. People may know Stacy from the theater community, but she also has a lot of managing background. She worked for the feds for a while until earlier this spring. So it's really exciting to have her in there as an interim and whip you all into shape over there.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so we missed you last month because Juno Afternoon was on hiatus, but First Friday goes on, and it's already August, if we can believe that, of 2025. That's just unreal, amazing, all those things.
Yeah.
Incredible. And sometimes it's a little bit slower in the summer months for First Friday, but tell us what's going on with First Friday this month.
So I would say that this month is a little bit busier for a summer month. You know, we're kind of getting to the end of summer. We're going to start looking into fall and you know, people are looking for those activities to do. So we have 15 different locations that are participating this month. We also have Juno Makerspace that will be participating on the second Friday of the month
instead
of First Friday.
All right.
They'll be doing their social dance party. I believe it'll be on the 8th of Friday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So give us some highlights. I know you probably have something opening up at the Jack. Let's hear about that first.
We do. So we have a new exhibit at the Jack. It's a shared exhibit. So we have two artists that will be featured this month. One artist is Heather Hinsey. She is putting together a show called Art Seeking. And this show is all about reconnecting with creativity. It kind of looks at how we're all artists as children and in our youth. And then as we grow and we get older, sometimes we get separated from that. But there is a way to reconnect with being creative and becoming a master of your craft. So her show has ceramics, prints, collages. It's going to be a really, really fun show. I think inspiring for a lot of people who may not feel like they are ready to have a solo show of their own.
I see. Okay. And those will be up for the whole month, but this Friday they'll be, the artists will be there between what time and what time?
Yes. So the show will be up through the month and we will have an opening reception on Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. So Heather will be there. And then at the same time, the other exhibit will open. It's going to be on one half of the gallery. And this show is called Juno Echoes. It's by Liyuan Zhang. And it's a look at the 5 years that she's spent here in Juno. So it'll have a lot of landscape paintings, but also a little series of pyrography, which is known as wood burning, to bring to life a cast of anthropomorphic, whimsical bears that playfully reflect the everyday rhythms and resilient spirit of Alaskan life.
Wow. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really fun little exhibit. And she won't be present during First Friday, but her exhibit will also be up through the month at the Jack. The last day to see it is August 30th.
Okay. Yeah, I think if I'm remembering right, we had her on the show maybe a couple years ago. And it was really great because she was fairly new to Juno, but had been here a little bit of time, couple years maybe, and really was taken with the landscape of Alaska and how it sort of really inspired her in terms of her art. So I'm looking forward to seeing that show. That sounds really cool. So what about some other locations around town? What are some highlights on the 15 that you got there?
So one that stuck out to me was at the Lodestone Library, which is up on Franklin Street and I believe down 3rd Street. They're having a Summerween party. It's like a combination of like a summer celebration, but with a twist, and it's kind of like bringing in Halloween elements. So they're inviting people to come by for a Halloween themed treat, make a summer themed craft with a spooky twist, and just come in costume or not. And I've seen a lot of like posts online right now about Summerween, and it's fun that they're doing something like that.
It's like a new trend to get some of that spirit happening in the summer. Even though I guess we're not that far from Halloween, it's coming up pretty fast.
It is, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think another really cool show that we have coming up is at the Alaska Robotics Gallery. Glow Inc. will be there. She's debuting a new body of work. And at the same time, Amalga Distillery is putting together a signature cocktail to kind of, or a signature drink that will kind of pair with her exhibit.
Oh, nice.
That's cool. So that looks like it'll be fun to check out. And then let's see, what else do we have? We also have an opening at Harbor Mountain Brewing Company, which is where Barnaby Brewing used to be. They're featuring an artist. Her name is Angelica Lucia Casey, and it will be a show called Golden Hour, collection of surreal scenes in oil paint.
Okay, awesome. And of course, you can find everything that goes on for First Friday, the whole listing over at jahc.org. There's a First Friday button right there on the homepage that'll take you to the listing of all these places so you can plan your First Friday. Hopefully the weather will be nice and we'll get out, walk around, do those things. And then a reminder that the Makerspace over in North Douglas is second Friday for a social dance situation.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So some other things I know happening at the Jack, you've got some, I think I've been seeing some emails about the Technically Art classes. Are those scheduled for this month still?
Those are, yes. So we have a series of workshops and venue tours coming up in August. So August 13th through the 16th, you can participate as a workshop participant. Also, you can take advantage of venue tours. The idea behind this series is we're trying to build up our event production and tech skills here in Southeast Alaska. So if you've always wanted to learn how to do sound, live sound reinforcement, if you want to know how to do lighting for events or how to do stage management, this is an opportunity for you to get that basic introductory level course and network with folks who are also doing the same thing.
Yeah, that is so important. Like, as a person who spent most of his life either in front of or on the stage or behind this microphone, it takes so many people to make everything happen, especially on live events. Like, there's so much knowledge and information that you can learn and be part of without having to be, like, on the front line, you know. So if you want to get involved in that, these classes are a great way to do that. And of course, you can find out all that at jahc.org if you want to find out more. And then just looking ahead, I know we'll have you on for September, but just looking ahead, we should start planning for some yumminess in our life, right?
We should, yes. So the biggest market of the year that we put on, the annual Juno Food Festival, is coming up in September. That's going to be on Saturday, September 6th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Jack.
Awesome. So that's probably already going to be, you're going to be blast that out on socials and stuff. And where can people find you besides jahc.org? What are your Instas and all that?
On Instagram, we are at @Juno_Arts_Council. And on Facebook, we're at Juno.Arts. And all of the information about these events is all available on our social media.
Yeah, we'll be posted there and all that stuff. Rochelle Bonet from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, thank you so much for joining us, giving us a little preview of what's in store for August. Always a wonderful thing as we sort of round out our summertime here in Juno. Thank you so much. Gunnath Cheech, for being here.
Thank you.
Okay. Up next here on Juno Afternoon, we have a savory moment.
Step in to the savory moment. You might remember that every seafood species has a unique recovery rate, sometimes called a culinary yield. But recovery rates don't apply to just seafood. A whole chicken has a culinary yield of about 58% for skinless, boneless pieces. If you buy a whole chicken for $3 a pound, the true cost of the meat will average about $5 a pound. You can calculate recovery rates for anything. Whole carrots to trimmed and peeled, 85%. Milk to cheese, 10%. Birch sap to birch syrup, 0.0083%. It takes about 120 gallons of birch sap to make 1 gallon of syrup.
Wow.
But there's one food where all the rules are turned inside out, as if this ingredient resides on the other side of the looking glass. Its culinary yield is around 300%.
Whoa!
No, it's not white rabbit. It's the humble bean.
Uh-huh.
Here are some yield rates for your favorite beans, from bag to bowl. Shiny black turtle beans, 260%. Oh, wow. Grassy split peas, 310%. The real fun comes when you consult a calculator on the final price of your haul. Divide the original price by the culinary yield. Funny things happen when you divide a dollar amount by a percentage. If the percentage is below 100, your price goes up. If the percentage is over 100%, the price goes down. That's exactly what happens when you calculate the bill on your heirloom beans. Sure, those ocho de la capras from a certain molto popolare retailer are, yikes, $7.50 per pound out of the package. But out of the cooking pot, they're, well, you do the math. The next time someone says, "You paid how much for those fancy beans?" you can say, $2.33 a pound, grazie mille.
Wow.
Find our foolproof recipe for beans at savorymoment.org from the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska. I'm Beth Short Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
Hansen Gress. Ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakaya ha ani kak. Gunish cheese.
In the mountains above Juneau's idyllic suburban neighborhoods, a glacial basin fills annually with rain and snowmelt until pressure builds up and it bursts through. As the glacier melts and the basin grows, neighborhoods downstream are newly vulnerable to catastrophic floods. Hundreds of people in Juneau's Mendenhall Valley are living on the front line of a climate change disaster they didn't see coming. This is Outburst, the story of how a freezing cold disaster has escalated faster than human imagination and public policies to protect people. KTOO reporters will take you from the floodwaters to the glacier's edge to uncover why the annual floods happen, how they got out of control, and what can be done to keep Juneau safe.
You are listening to community-supported Juneau Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. You can also join us on our live stream behind the scenes in the studio on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Just go to KTO's pages there and you will see us. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That was the trailer for the upcoming podcast series, Outburst, from the KTOO News team. Now, reporter Alex Solomon joins me in the studio to chat about this timely project. Kenneth Cheesh, Ayugidi, thank you so much, Alex, for coming in and sharing a little bit with us. Wasa Iti, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Of course. This is such a cool project. Can you tell us about where this idea or the germination of this Outburst series came from?
Yeah, so it actually preceded me. Anna Canny, who was the climate and environment reporter before me, she got a grant to do this project. And that was after having seen both the 2023 Outburst flood and the 2024 Outburst flood. So she really wanted to do kind of a bigger project. And once she left and I was hired, it fell in my lap.
You inherited it, as they say.
I sort of inherited it. I mean, the whole newsroom inherited it. But yeah, it's going to be my voice that's in the – I'm the host of the
You're
podcast.
The host. Okay. And are you – I know the whole team is working on it, but are you sort of like the producer of it too? You're kind of getting everything together and all that?
We have hired an audio engineer producer, okay. David Waldron. So he's the one putting it together. But I did do – a lot of the reporting.
Okay. Gotcha. I know you've been doing a lot of fact-checking recently, too.
Yes. I'm actually almost done with the fact-check. My sources have been getting texts from me. Hey, does this figure right? Where did you get this?
Yeah, we need to know. Make sure that it's right. And how many episodes of this will there be?
So it's a short series. There'll be 4 episodes.
Okay.
And they'll all be under 15 minutes. So they're really bite-sized chunks. And each episode will kind of look at a different element of this climate change disaster. So
okay.
I can kind of
run it down for us a little bit. Give us a preview.
So the first episode kind of it asks the question, we have these guiding questions for each episode. The guiding question for episode 1 was, why were so many people shocked in 2024 after they had seen a disaster in 2023? Mm. And why wasn't the capital city prepared? So we really get into sort of both the science that we had at the time and the human element of people just not expecting things to hit them, you know, even if they hit their neighbors a couple years ago.
I see. So people were thinking, like, did people sort of kind of think, oh, it's a one-time thing, that it's not going to happen? Or had it happened years ago? When was the last time it happened before 2023? Do we know?
So before 2023, the biggest one was in 2016.
Okay, and so that, it's been a while, yeah.
And that was only 12 feet. So they had been, they're growing in size.
Ah, okay.
I think it's hard to predict, you know, if something's going to be big enough to affect you.
Right.
So I think that was probably part of it.
Okay.
But, and science has only known that these are happening for sure since 2011. So that's when they started monitoring Suicide Basin, which is the glacial lake that's responsible for creating these floods.
For the overflow and all that. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Cool. So that's episode one.
And then episode two, we really dig into the science behind how we understand these floods and what are the big questions that they're trying to answer, namely, how big can the floods get?
Mm.
And once the glacier recedes up to Suicide Basin, are there going to be other risks further up the glacier, other basins that could pose the same sort of disaster risk? So that's episode two. I got to go on the glacier for that.
Wow.
Pretty fun. And then episode three is looking at potential long-term solutions. So the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is studying it right now, and they are going to pose sort of options for how to mitigate the risk long-term.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be community input over the process, but it takes a long time. So that's episode three, as we're talking about that. And we also look at other solutions to this same problem in Switzerland, which has been dealing with this problem for centuries. I mean, there's actually a lot of places all over the globe. Places with glaciers have this problem.
Mm.
It's just that not everywhere are there lots of people living in these like high mountain regions right beneath the glaciers. It's
right
in the Andes, the Himalayas, parts of Iceland here, and Switzerland, you know.
So smaller populations maybe, or not necessarily right on the track like we have in the Mendenhall Valley. Like,
well, there are people living in the track, especially in like the Himalayas.
Okay.
Like India has had a really big one recently that killed lots of people. So it is happening, but there aren't a lot of places where people have like figured out solutions. So we go to Switzerland in the podcast because they actually have been doing like dealing with this, like trying to implement solutions for a long time. So we talked to some researchers over there, and that's episode
three. Did you get
to
go to Switzerland?
No, I didn't get to go to Switzerland.
You did that remotely.
Okay. That one was.
Yeah, okay. That would have been cool, but we don't have the travel budget for that.
Not right now.
It's definitely not right now. KTO.org/donate. Anyway, so that's episode three. What's episode four? We wrap it up?
Yeah, episode four, we wrap it up, and we ask people, like, are they planning to stay here or go? You know, how is this affecting people's homes, people's property values, people's lives? Can people afford to stay in Juneau if their house is flooding over and over again? So we talk to some families and kind of get their perspective on how they're even dealing with this disaster in their
lives. I can't even imagine, like, if you've been there, if you've been living there, and then the last 2 years, like, you have to think about, okay, well, it's coming, right? We don't know exactly, like, that's part of it. You're not going to get into that because this is sort of a podcast version of this information, but the news team is doing other things and other stories, and you're on the watch basically right now to see like when that might be. They're not quite sure what day it could or could not happen. It's never quite sure, right?
That's right. Yeah. So they've been posting weekly updates on the National Weather Service has this page called Suicide Basin online. You can look it up. And they post a update almost every week that kind of says how full the basin is and when they expect it will be completely full. Because once it's completely full, then they can sort of say, okay, well, it's a matter of days then. But we don't know exactly, of course. But right now they're saying it's expected to be, you know, full by mid-August. So, but that's, again, that's everything can change
everything changes,
an instant.
Yeah.
Like if we have a really hot spell or, you know, it could feel faster. If it gets colder, it could feel slower. So there's kind of a lot of moving parts to the situation. But yeah, we're watching.
You're monitoring that. I think you stay tuned to KTO.org. Check the website, news reports too every day. We'll probably be covering this over the next coming weeks. So now are all these episodes, I know they're going to premiere at some point next week. We're not exactly sure which day yet, but we're figuring that out. And are they all going to drop at once, or is it going to be one a day, or what's the drop schedule?
I'm not in charge of the drop schedule.
That's Adeline Baxter.
I think, yeah, I think that you'll have to ask the leadership on that one.
Okay. Because I was wondering, because if it's 4 15-minute episodes, that's kind of cool. You could knock that out and listen in an hour or over a couple days. Because it is so timely, right? That the information is so timely. So, okay, so just a couple more questions for you. What did you learn in the process of making this podcast?
There are no easy answers to all the questions that we came into this podcast with. I think that's my key takeaway is that, you know, as I've gotten deeper and deeper into the topic, you really can see things from every perspective, and even in areas where people disagree about how things have been done or what to do or how do we solve this. You know, that's been a really key takeaway. I think another one has been that the community there is really has been almost strengthened by this disaster that struck them. So they've really come together. They host community meetings. They help each other. They've gotten to know each other deeper over this. I have sources telling me that all the time.
Wow.
So, and I've seen it myself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that it's Juneau is a special place.
It is. It is a very special place.
And even in the darkest times,
yeah,
people here come together.
Yeah. Yeah. They come together, and we're all going to learn a lot because, like you said, there's a lot of unanswered questions on how we solve this going forward. So we'll stay tuned to kto.org. Outburst is the new podcast. It will be premiering sometime next week. I'm sure we'll be announcing that, maybe playing an episode or two here on Juneau Afternoon. Last question for you, Alex, is you have been with us for a while now, a few months at least, and you're the climate and environment reporter. And I'm just curious, like, where did your love for that particular topic start?
Honestly, that's a hard question. I guess I've always been really, really interested in the environment ever since I was a kid. Like, I think I was born like this.
Right. Parental influence?
None. Parental influence.
Wow, you just were born this way.
Yeah, I was just like the nerdy nature kid all on my
own,
you know? But I can say that my first, like, whoa, I should do this as a job was when I read Silent Spring by Rachel Carson. And I realized that in covering, you know, an environmental disaster that was unfolding at the time, which was DDT and all the horrible things that it had effects on, including bird populations and human health. But when she wrote that book and covered that, it actually changed things. You know, like the public reaction to it made it such that they stopped spreading DDT everywhere, you know? So I realized that my voice could help.
Nice. Yeah. Well, it is helping, and it will continue to help as KTO News Team covers the glacial outbursts and the flooding and anything that's coming up. Check out this series, Outburst, which will be premiering next week. Keep an eye out on your podcast catchers and all that kind of stuff. And that's what you're going to be looking for. Alex Solomon, Gunthcheesh, for being here today and telling us a little bit, giving us a little teaser of what's to come.
Yes, thank you so much. I hope people like it. Or if you don't, tell me.
Either way, like good, bad, help us out. Give us some feedback. We always like feedback.
We love feedback.
Yeah, we do love the feedback. Thank you so much, Alex. Really appreciate it. All right, you're listening to Juneau Afternoon. Here's a little Sounds Wild.
Sounds Wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. On a sunny morning in June, a Sitka black-tailed deer steps out of the thick brush into a clearing in the forest. A tiny fawn is at her heels. Its gangly legs make this little spotted fawn look bigger than it really is. This fawn is only a couple weeks old and weighs about as much as my cat. When fawns are very young, does will leave them alone for hours in a quiet sheltered hiding place while they go off and feed. The doe is a more conspicuous target for a predator, but She's very fast. The fawn is an easy target, and it'll be weeks before it can outrun a bear. Hidden in tall grass, ferns, and underbrush, or in a berry bush thicket, with virtually no scent to attract a bear, a fawn is pretty safe. After a few weeks, the fawn will travel short distances with their mothers. If a bear does encounter a doe and a fawn, another strategy comes into play. The doe will jump and bolt, fleeing the scene and drawing the bear's attention and distracting it. The fawn will drop and lay still and silent, and odds are good the bear will overlook it. In both these scenarios, the fawn is not abandoned. People who find unattended deer fawns should leave them alone. The mother will be back soon. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com. Listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, and you might recognize that music. That is our Garden Talk theme. This is Garden Talk, one of the most beloved segments over the last decades here at KTOO, and this year we're going to try something a little bit different with it. I've got Darren Snyder in the studio with me now. Thank you so much, Darren, for coming in. Wasiati, how are you today?
I'm good. Thanks. Gunashish for having me.
Okay, so will you share with us the work that you do on the daily?
Yeah, okay. Well, it kind of depends on the day, but my work is through the University of Alaska Fairbanks, which is a little bit confusing because I am here in Juneau and I serve all of Southeast Alaska. But I'm doing what's called being an extension agent. And okay. The purpose is to bring the university to the people. And so we there are agents throughout the state, and we have different topic areas. And okay. One of my main topics is to support people's goals and efforts to garden and to grow, whether it be for themselves, for within the community, professionally, farming, everything around growing. And so I, on the daily, will be kind of having a nice combination of responding to people's interests and questions. There are some online ways of getting a hold of me and other ways of that people contact me. And then also doing as much as I can also to be out in the community and to work on projects, whether they be at people's individual gardens, but primarily like community gardens, school gardens, different events. And okay. So I have met many people in the community through this.
So you're interfacing with a lot of different people in the community in a lot of different subjects, but in gardening specifically, there's definitely some things that you do. What's your own sort of history with gardening?
Oh, thanks for asking. I grew up fortunate to have gardening going on. My parents were into gardening. My grandparents were into gardening. I have my grandparents on my mother's side are straight from Sicily, and so there was a real ethic of grow your own and the need because of financial need to grow your own, can your own, and do that kind of stuff. And they had the opportunity to do that down in Southern California. So I primarily grew up in Southern California and Central California, Bay Area, doing a lot of gardening. And just growing food and appreciating that as well. And so that kind of actually launched me out of, once I left the house after high school, I knew that I wanted to do work in agriculture and outreach. Mm. So I went to college for that and got a degree in agriculture. And And then have been growing. That was actually in Hawaii. It was where I got my degree. So for the last 30 years that I've been here in Juneau, I've been kind of adapting this the dry hot of California and the hot and wet of Hawaii, and now then I've been translating it to the cool.
The cool and wet.
So
what can we say about the history? Because this is a good transition here, because the cool and wet of Juneau, right? How does that affect gardening here in Juneau in terms of I'm thinking about the history of gardening in Juneau. There's certain things that can grow here, certain things that are really difficult to grow here. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I'm curious about that in terms of the history of gardening in Juneau.
Yeah, there is a really rich history. There are various. It's challenging, mm-hmm. And there are some good historical documents written about some of the farms that have gone on here and some of the dairies. The Juneau Garden Club has done a nice job writing up a little bit of some of our history, but the challenge is really. Not only that it's cool and wet, but it's also a very short season, mm-hmm. and then combined with the swing of short days to long days, back down to short days, and it's just a real challenge for the plants that we are intentionally gardening here that we have introduced to adapt, and for us to try and support them and change the environment in ways that they will be successful.
Yeah, and we're getting a little late start on Garden Talk this season because we're nearing the end of summer. Well, I guess we're in the sort of final period of summer here. So where are people now in terms of their growing? Are we kind of – we've already planted. We've done all that. We're sort of in the harvesting phase if we were growing like fruits and vegetables, right? And there's things that other people garden too, but –
Yeah, and just focusing on the cultivated harvests, mm-hmm. where we're planting gardens and such, rather than the wild harvest. But yeah, those who were able to deal with some of the vagaries of this season's cool, wet, rainy beginning.
So rainy.
Yeah, and then followed up by some hot and dry. There are so many ways to kind of stumble along here, mm-hmm. and. I had personally some lost crops and efforts, and many people do. I mean, many people have who have had enough success to be having developed their gardens and gotten through these. Hurdles. There are lots of greens that are happening, and which are fortunately the low hanging fruit. Where there's got to get a different analogy than that because they're greens, but they're the easy ones.
Yeah.
And fortunately, those whether they be like the kales or lettuce or beet greens or chards or anything like that, those will be growing. Those people can be harvesting those throughout the season, and you could be planting them even now and having baby greens or even possibly overwintering, which we could talk in a future segment on. But there are many root crops people are already pulling up, some small beets and pretty good-sized carrots even have for people who have been successful with their carrots. But we still have, fortunately, weeks to go before some of the final harvests of like our root crops. Right now is primary looking at your garlic. People who have who put garlic in last fall have had that come up and then have already hopefully harvested their scapes, that top portion that kind of comes curly Q up the top and it's like a flower, but it can be those things were hopefully quite a few weeks ago were snapped off and made mm-hmm. into pesto or something like that, but the garlic is definitely something that people are harvesting now, and we can talk more about that, but
yeah, for sure. And I know clinker potatoes are another thing that get in the ground and are coming up pretty soon, I guess. I don't know exactly when, but we've done that in the past. That's kind of fun. Because there's some, you know, I'm curious over this coming weeks as we sort of re-engage with garden talk here, just talking about, especially for those who don't garden, like what's the easy access, easy way in, things you just start with that are simple? Because there's obviously our advanced gardeners, but then we have people who want to dabble, you know, and it's like if it's too late for this season, we start thinking about like you're talking about over the winter, what can I do? What can I be doing? Or what could I be preparing for next spring? That kind of thing. So I look forward to talking about some of those things as we move forward. I know you have some events that maybe we want to talk about. There's some upcoming events that might be happening this month.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do have some ideas, some thoughts for people who are looking into gardening.
Yeah.
If we want to
delve
into that a little bit. So, you know, now is a good time. I'll definitely second your and acknowledge that we are definitely middle towards the latter end of this whole growing season, but there's still lots to do.
Mm.
And one of the things I'd suggest, especially for people who are new to gardening, is to make sure that you are writing down and taking notes for if you are an active gardener or that you're just trying things out, to take notes and to whether you're doing it on a phone or if you actually have a paper and a pencil notebook and a notebook, writing down things, what you're observing, whether it be the weather, what kind of activities you're doing, what varieties of plants that you're either growing yourself or that you're noticing others growing, what questions you have, just having that practice of taking notes and writing things down. That's just a good general beginner's and anybody's, because we don't remember stuff. We think we'll remember it.
Observe and report, right?
Yeah. And so you for yourself and do yourself that favor of getting into that practice. And then also just tour yourself around and start looking critically or carefully at others growing spaces. Whatever your growing interests are, whether it be food gardening or landscapes with various plants, what do you like and what do you like that you're seeing? And strike up conversations with gardeners, with people who are your neighbors, who are growing things that you are interested in.
Mm.
Now is a perfect time for that, for really kind of just really don't just walk by it and go, oh, there's some beautiful stuff over there. If you really want to be a gardener here, you really do have to pay attention. What are the plants that are out there that you want, that you like, that are being successful? Because we could spend a whole lot of time and money and effort to do things then make all the same mistakes that everybody else has made. We might as well just, you know, be a little bit more targeted, and this is an opportunity for that.
And I feel like gardeners, the ones I've met, are very open to helping you and telling you how to grow your garden. So you can definitely get advice from your neighbor if you see they're growing something cool. Ask them about it, and they, I'm sure, will talk about it. So before we run out of time, let's talk about a couple of the events.
Yeah. Personally, I'm heading up to the Haines Fair. I'm going to be a couple of days late myself. I'm only getting there on Saturday, so I'll have Saturday and Sunday, but it's starting tomorrow.
Okay.
And the Haines Fair has been a place where people have been able to show off some of their prize plants and produce. So if that's something to if you're going to head up there, you probably know it already because the ferry tickets are fill up. But otherwise, look at that for next year and even submitting your own plants to show off to others and to share with others. I'll mention again, the Juno Garden Club is an amazing organization, and they are organized a garden tour this year in Gustavus. And so...
cool.
Yeah, so August 7th through the 9th, it's already, you know, well underway. So it's something for people to get, you know, get yourself aware of the Juno Garden Club and some of their activities. And if you want to kind of take your touring of Southeast Alaskan Gardens up the next step and have a great time of it, then look at doing that.
Get over to Gustavus.
Next year. Yeah,
yeah, that's kind of cool. And you can find the Juno Garden Club online. You can just Google Juno Garden Club. I think they also have a Facebook page and stuff like that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, and then I think I just heard you mentioning the local food fest that Jack is doing.
Yeah.
And then the community garden, they're probably going to be on too to talk about their harvest fair, which is coming up on August 30th.
Oh, great.
And that's another amazing event that those amazing people organize. And it's just such a joy. Like you said, all that generosity.
It's so good. Is that everything? Is that
all? I would like to just make sure that you all, as much as you appreciate all this sunshine out there, remember to water your garden. Our gardens are not used to this dryness. We can go, oh yeah, this is great, fun in the sun. But those plants are, many of them start suffering pretty fast because the only way they're successful is that they have good drainage and they're used to being wet. A few days of dry. And if you have a prized plant, and then I would just, or a lawn or anything else, just give it a little bit of water and it'll appreciate it.
Absolutely. Darren Snyder, for a garden talk. I look forward to future weeks and future guests and all those things coming on with you to talk about various different things going on in the garden world. Thank you so much, Gunath Cheesh, for being here today.
Yeah, Gunath Cheesh to you.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kehinak John Martin. And the word this week is got.
Got.
That means sockeye salmon. And here's a sentence.
Got at kishi. Sakwasayake.
Dried sockeye salmon is pretty good. Let's hear it again.
Got.
Sockeye salmon. Gunash Cheesh to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kehinuk John Martin was Dakdane Tan and a child of a Kagwantan man. He is from the Hunakawu and was a contributing elder and speaker at many language immersion gatherings in Glacier Bay, Yakutat, and Juneau. He attended boarding school in Shkakwe, Skagway, and attended Gonzaga University.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Mike Lane. Today is Wednesday, July 30th, and on this day back in 1926, the Juneau Chamber of Commerce unanimously rejected a motion to change the local time to Seattle time. However, Ketchikan approved the motion and became the only community in Southeast Alaska to do so. That's a look back at this day in 1926.
Listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. I have in the studio now Ben Brown, the chair of the Juno Chamber of Commerce. Gunath Cheesh, IUD, thank you so much for coming in. Ben, we missed you last month as we were on hiatus. Wasiati, how are you today?
I'm doing well, and on behalf of the Juneau Chamber of Commerce, as the president of our board of directors, I just want to wish everyone a happy end of July, and it's actually pretty nice out there today once again.
Yeah, this summer has been so odd, like the first, 60 days of rain, whatever it was, so many days of rain, and then now this last, it's just been so sunny and warm.
I mean, even when the sun isn't out, it's actually been quite warm. I've worn shorts 3 days in a row because if not now, when? If not me, who?
And the first, I know, well, you obviously, with your fashion, you always have shorts on, even in the coldest days of winter. But even, you know, Juno's first ever heat advisory.
So I took a screenshot of that just because I have to send that to some folks in New York and Washington and say, oh my God, we survived 80 degrees.
I know, 80. I was just in Vegas and there's no way that.
It was like 115 or whatever, totally.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Juneau Chamber of Commerce, I know you're involved in so many different things in town, but you're the president of the board of the Juneau Chamber of Commerce, and I think the last time we checked in, you were all on the search for a new executive director. Is there any news on that front?
There absolutely is. We have hired a new executive director. She will start next Monday, the 4th of August. She's already started doing some of the work, because that's how this works, but her name is Rebecca Parks.
Okay.
She comes to us from Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. She was before that at Juneau Economic Development Council. And before that, she is a teacher. She was trained at Columbia undergrad and got her master's in teaching. So she's worked a lot with nonprofit, with the Alaska Native community, of course, over with Rosita and Lee at Sea Alaska Heritage. She did a lot of great project management when she was at JEDC, including the Robotics First project, which is a big program
that they run.
Yeah,
I remember that.
So she's got a lot of experience with nonprofit management, with the business community, doing government relations, and she's been in Juneau about 20 years, and we are just all very excited that she's going to be joining us. It has been a while since we've had an executive director. Our the last person to have that job who had it on an interim basis, his last day was the 11th of June. So I've been going into the office a fair amount as board president just to make sure our executive assistant has all the support that she needs.
Mm-hmm.
We've continued to have our weekly luncheons, and those have been well attended out at the Moose Lodge. And the business of the day continues, us representing the community, the business community, looking at public policy issues and trying to make sure that we have a well-informed citizenry, a well-informed electorate. Of course, now we know what's going to be on the ballot in our municipal election in October.
Yeah.
And so we have not taken a position. We, of course, don't endorse candidates, but in the past, the chamber has deliberated and weighed in on policy questions about taxation and things like that. So we are now carefully considering what's been put forward by the Affordable Juneau Coalition, and then also by the Assembly. The former put forward an exemption on sales tax and residential utilities, and also a separate measure to cap the mill rate, whereas the Assembly has put forward a vote on whether or not to create a seasonal sales tax. And I think one thing I really want to make sure people know is that seasonal sales tax, were it to go into effect, and if the exemption were to go into effect, the exemption would remain in effect year-round, even while the seasonal sales tax was in effect. That's one question I've already heard people asking. So it's already getting complicated.
Okay, hold on. So yeah, slow down just a little bit for me. So because I've heard about the seasonal sales tax measure that's coming, but explain this other thing to me just a little bit
slower. Yeah, and the Assembly was looking at its own sales tax exemption on food, and food is not prepared food. It's things that qualify for SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly known as food stamps. So anything you could use a SNAP benefit to purchase, which is non-prepared food, grocery items, certainly not alcohol or anything like that,
right,
there would not be a 5% sales tax on that.
Okay.
And that wouldn't be means tested. Anyone going to buy food would be exempted from that. And then the other part of the Affordable Juneau Coalition's proposal is to exempt utilities, electricity, water and wastewater, heating oil, other sources of heating fuel like what I call pine pellets, but the wooden pellets that go into pellet stoves. Those, for residential purposes, would also be exempt from the 5% tax year-round under the Affordable Juneau Coalition proposition. And then the separate thing put forward by the members of that citizen group is to cap the mill rate. So again, the Juneau Chamber has not taken a position on any of those three things, but we're going to be looking at them. And if there is a consensus among our board of directors on behalf of our members, we might. But one thing I know doesn't require us to have a meeting. We want people to learn more about it, to understand what the effects of these various things would be, and then make an informed decision, because that's why we live in a democracy. So that's one of the big things the Chamber of Commerce does. I'm very excited that we'll have a new executive director to help me and my fellow board members get the word out about these kind of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the best advice, because obviously the chamber at some point might take a position. That's fine. But really what's important, what I want listeners of Juneau Afternoon to do, is be informed.
Exactly.
Right? Get the best information you can so that you can make an informed decision. Don't be influenced by political groups or advocacy groups or anything like that. Find out that information, figure out what it is that you need to know, and then you can make an informed vote. And of course, you can count on our news team. The public forums will probably have a lot of questions for candidates about these various different ballot measures and all that stuff coming up, so you can keep tuned to KTOO News for all of that information in terms of figuring out what you need to know.
Absolutely. And we will do a candidate forum. Now, of course, for the assembly, only one of the races is contested.
Right.
My inclination is still to give the incumbents, Greg Smith and Ella Atkinson, who are running unopposed, an opportunity to speak, because people are still going to be voting, you know.
Absolutely.
Even if there's always a write-in possibility. Remember, Will Muldoon got elected to the school board many years ago as a write-in candidate.
Yep.
And, of course, Lisa Murkowski got reelected to the U.S. Senate as a write-in candidate. Mm-hmm. So we do things different in Alaska. Write-ins sometime work. But I also think we'll try to find time in our weekly luncheon schedule this fall to really raise the information and profile of the sales tax initiatives mm-hmm. and then the separate mill rate cap initiative, just because people need to know what those are, how they would work, how they would change the status quo, what they would cost, what the benefit to them might be individually. And then, like you said, an information is power, and an informed decision is always the best kind of decision to make.
Before we go, a couple other things. I just want to know what else is going on at the chamber. But first, how's the summer been? Like, has it been, in terms of business, has it been good for Juneau?
Well, what we have heard is that, there have been some types of businesses. Some of the higher-end tours have had a little bit less demand. But I think across the board, we're finding our retailers are quite busy, and the probably near record number of visitors, again, it seems to be tracking along toward that, have been spending money and enjoying the goods and the services that Alaska's capital city has to offer. And so I think that's a bright ray. We had Melani Shivens from Marine Coast Data speak a month or so ago, and she gave a presentation on the Economic Outlook Survey, which is actually a poll of people in Juneau and all the other southeastern communities about how they feel, what's the zeitgeist. And people are not pessimistic. People are cautiously optimistic. And then the hard data show that our visitor industry is creating more jobs and a massive amount of revenue, in a manner that we really could not do without at this point in our economic history, absent something else coming in to take the place of those jobs. But it's a double-edged sword. Of course, there's a lot of impacts from those visitors, and so we continue as a community to try to find ways to reconcile those two competing outcomes and desires.
Absolutely.
So the other thing I did want to mention, we are continuing to make sure we have the resources to be a Chamber of Commerce for Alaska's capital city. So we have a cash and travel raffle. People can learn more about it at junochamber.com. We're going to have an event coming up. First time we've done a whale watching cruise in a long time, but our friends at Allen Marine donated one, which they do to a lot of nonprofit groups.
Yeah.
So that actually is going to be the 12th of September, and that's where we're actually going to do the drawing for the raffle. And then our annual dinner, the big black tie event that everyone looks forward to, will be on the 12th of October at Centennial Hall. Much more to come about all that in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll meet. Is it Becca or Rebecca?
Well, it's Rebecca, but she goes by Becca. So
okay.
I hope next month to come on a Juneau Afternoon with Becca, and we can chat with her about some of the things she's learned in her first few weeks on the job.
I love that. And then, of course, you can always, the Juneau Chamber luncheons are open to the public. You don't have to be a chamber member to go to the luncheons, and oftentimes they have very informative talks. And how do people find out about that? Just go to the website?
Yeah, junochamber.com, and there's an event calendar. And so that lists the speakers. I think we've got everything booked through Labor Day except one day. So I would just go to junochamber.com and check out who's speaking. Register. You don't have to actually register for lunch. You can just register for the program if you want to.
Mm.
There's a discount if you're a chamber member, and we would love to see folks there. It's nice to have a full room so that our speakers are, getting the maximum impact of what they're sharing, and they get good questions, and there's some interaction.
And they get energized. Always good to have an audience.
Absolutely.
You know that as a performer.
You know that too, Boston.
All that good stuff. So, thank you, Ben, for coming in. Gunnath Cheesh, I really appreciate it. And we'll see you next month, and we'll meet Becca.
Oh, very good. Thank you so much, Boston.
Awesome. Today's Juneau Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, a chat with the organizers of this weekend's Auckman Triathlon. plus a look at a new financial success program for students from Tongass Federal Credit Union. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Ok Bay 91.7. Hello out the road. Juno, find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. You can also find the live stream archives over on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support for Juno Afternoon comes from listeners and viewers like you, never more important than now, and Alaska Airlines Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. Gonna cheese to those supporters. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture Team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Hop on over to KXLL now, 101.7 or 100.7 FM, to catch DJ Kelly for some cool tunes and some vibes. Then cheese!